Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Today is the day when we Christians proclaim to one another and to the world that Jesus Christ, who was crucified to take away the sins of the world, rose bodily from the dead. It is not, as you sometimes hear, the day Christians celebrate their belief that Jesus rose from the dead. No, the resurrection of Jesus, his empty tomb, the lack of a corpse that had been under guard by his enemies, the eyewitness appearances to dozens, in fact, hundreds of people, these are not matters of faith, but the overwhelming preponderance of the evidence. Christ rose from the dead. The faith part is what those facts mean. That as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. That all who are baptized into his death will share in his resurrection. That is a matter of faith, to be sure. But the resurrected body of Jesus, that is a matter of fact. He is risen indeed. The Corinthian Greeks of Paul's day had no trouble with the immortality of the soul. They believed that your soul lived on after your body died, and there were various opinions about what that meant. People today, too, believe that we live on in some fashion after death, perhaps in our descendants, in their memory, in the community, in our legacy. And like the Greeks, there are a great many today who believe that we live on as some sort of disembodied soul caught up mysteriously into the divine. There are some who believe that we are reincarnated, that we come back at different levels of life to work out our respective karma until we finally get it right and we are released from the material world. Now, the immortality of the soul, that poses no problem to most people. But the resurrection of the body, that's what trips people up. We have a body problem. We think that soul and body are fundamentally disconnected. That's how people can say that they're spiritual but not religious, separating their spiritual and their physical lives. That's how they can justify immoral bodily behavior and still claim to be Christian in their heart. To them, what you do with the body is largely disconnected from your spirituality. And in the end, the prevailing belief still to this day is that the real source of our troubles is our bodies, that our consciousness somehow needs to escape from our bodies, and then at last we will be free and pure. We think of our bodies sort of like soda cans, an outer container holding our soul. And once the soul is sprung from the body, we just toss away the can. It's empty and useless. But Scripture teaches none of that. And Christians believe none of that, or at least you shouldn't. We believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, in that order. There is no life everlasting without a resurrection of the body. And any life there is apart from the body before the resurrection is not yet eternal life in the fully human way that Jesus spoke of. We believe in the resurrection of the body precisely because we believe that the body of Jesus rose from the tomb on the third day, the first day of the week, the beginning of a new creation. Had Jesus not risen from the dead, we wouldn't believe in the resurrection of the body. We'd be free to believe in some disembodied immortal soul or whatever your personal spirituality suggests. But Jesus is risen, and he came to save and redeem our humanity completely, soul and body, spirit and flesh. In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul lays out the dire consequences if Christ isn't raised, if the gospel that we heard is just some pious story, if there is a tomb in Israel with the bones of Jesus still in it. If Christ isn't raised, first of all, he says, our preaching is empty. All we're left with is a kind of group therapy with morals, helping each other cope with the trials of life, helping each other perhaps to become better people, invoking some vague higher power to help us. That's all that's left. Our preaching becomes nothing more than a motivational pep talk. And if our preaching is empty, then your faith is also empty. Your believing in Jesus, that's a waste of time and spiritual energy that could be more profitably used elsewhere if Christ isn't raised. What's the point, after all, of believing in a dead Messiah? What's the point of believing in a good guy who healed some people and got himself crucified and whose name and legend lives on in piously made up myths? You might as well believe in the Easter Bunny. If Christ isn't raised, Paul says, then we are still in our sins. For that would mean that death is still in charge, that Jesus didn't actually break the curse of sin by the shedding of his holy blood. And if that's the case, then we're doomed forever. That's what's at stake here. Our entire salvation rests on Christ fully paying the wages of sin and showing forth his victory over the grave in the flesh on the third day. Only where sin is taken away is life restored and bodily resurrection given. But if Christ isn't raised, there is no hope for you or me or anyone. And lastly, Paul says that if Christ isn't raised, then those who have died in the faith have perished, never to be seen again. And we are of all people the most pitiable and pitiful. Then the atheists are correct. Life ends in biological death. There is no meaning, no purpose, no hope beyond the grave. If Christ isn't raised, well, then the Epicureans of Paul's day were correct. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Pretty grim, isn't it, if Christ is not raised? But here's the good news of Easter. In fact, notice the epistle doesn't say in faith, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, Jesus is the beginning and the source of more fruit to come, more bodily resurrection. Jesus has inaugurated a harvest that is going to be abundant and overflowing for his people. He is the first one to break through the bars of death and open the floodgates by his cross. Jesus has unlocked the prison house and freed Adam and Eve and all their children from their captivity. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ will all be made alive. Jesus truly is, in reality, tangibly risen. So what does this mean for you? Well, first it means that this preaching you're hearing isn't empty. Your ears aren't being filled with fond wishes and empty platitudes. Christ's word is actually true. His promises are real. If he has power not just over sickness, but over death itself, I think you can certainly trust what he says. If he can pass through the grave and come out alive and glorified on the other side, you can rely on him and stake your life on him. Jesus' words are trustworthy and faithful. Listen to them and believe them. Second, Jesus' resurrection means that his death on the cross was a sufficient sacrifice for all your sins. The only way Jesus could rise again was if he had taken sin out and destroyed its deathly power. And he has. As we said earlier, Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Your sin is taken away, and your death overcome. Easter shows us all that the Father accepted Jesus' sacrifice in your place, and you are forgiven and reconciled to him. Third, the resurrection of Jesus means that the grave doesn't win. It can't hold you or your believing loved ones because it could not hold Jesus. As it is written, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting?" For Christians, the grave is now nothing more than a resting place, a holiday inn for the body, a temporary place of Sabbath rest until we rise again in the new creation. And so we can truly say, blessed are those who die in the Lord. Their bodies slumber in the grave, and their souls are at peace and at rest with Jesus. All is well, and all will be well on the last day. And finally, fourth, the resurrection of Jesus means that your life in the body now matters. He created your flesh and blood and declared it to be good. And he has now redeemed your flesh and blood for life in his kingdom and for service to your neighbor. Jesus did not just take up your humanity temporarily and then leave it behind. No, he rose again as your true human brother, God in the flesh, exalted and glorified. And that means that in him, your humanity has been exalted and cleansed so that you share in his divine life. And by receiving the real body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, you are given his life, one that embraces this material creation and that extends his redeeming love to other flesh and blood people. Now, your bodily life is of great value to the Lord. So here once again, the good news of the resurrection. Your sins have been fully atoned for. The law is fulfilled. The new creation has dawned. The grave has lost its grip on you. Death has lost its sting. You are set free from fear. Sickness and pain and sorrow shall flee away. The dead will be raised. And in Jesus, you too shall rise bodily. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.